Good morning. Welcome, Congregation of Christ Church Ann Arbor and friends, to our live stream today on this Sunday, this Lord's Day. And I trust the Lord is blessing you, that you are resting in Him during this unusual time where we're all trying to stay safe and overcome this pandemic that is affecting the entire world. And please continue to pray and look forward to that day when we can meet together again and gather together as God's people in public worship. But till then, we do want to continue to consider His Word and allow it to minister to our hearts. And so the text we're going to consider this morning as we continue through the Gospel of Matthew is Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 15. I'll read the entire passage. Matthew writes, "When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the one who has to come, or shall we look for another?' And Jesus answered them, 'Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me.' As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. 'What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face and will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And this is the word of the Lord. We live in a world that craves authenticity. I mean, we want things that are real rather than fake. We want things that are legitimate rather than illegitimate. Things that are reliable rather than unreliable. Things that are true rather than things that are false. Authenticity is so marketable because it speaks to this high ideal of something that is natural, genuine, pure. And yet the search for authenticity falls short more often than not. Even the relationships that we develop in our lives, we seek them to be authentic, and yet they're still marked by some stain that causes us to hurt and to ache and long for something better, something more authentic. And that is the nature of our own sin, because it corrupts any relationship we have, even the best of them, so that it is not as authentic as it should be and does not have the authenticity that we long for. You see, all of us have some form of deception, some secrecy, something that we bury deep within our souls that is there that results in an imperfect life and inauthentic friendships. That is the nature of sin. But there is one person we can truly know that is authentic. There is no defilement of sin in him. There is no secret that he hides. He is completely trustworthy. He is authentic, and that is Jesus Christ. Christ is the most authentic person we can know, and the relationship we have with him is the most authentic relationship we could ever imagine to experience. And Matthew shows us in this text this morning that Jesus is authentic because of what he has done for you. John the Baptist, or more appropriately translated, John the Baptizer, he had been cast into prison by King Herod Antipas due to the message he had been proclaiming in the wilderness. John was, of course, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He called people to repentance, to look for the soon coming king. And that message, of course, was very unpopular with earthly kings like Herod, who felt that it was a threat to their power. And in addition to that, John called out the immorality in the very life of Herod himself. And so Herod casts him into prison, and he eventually and soon will put John to death. But there we find John sitting there rotting in this dungeon. And no doubt he feels discouraged, he feels defeated, he feels anxious and worried. That kind of discouragement leads him to ask a question that no doubt every believer has struggled with. Is Jesus real, or is Jesus authentic? And so he sends messengers to Jesus with this particular question. He says, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Are you the one we've been hoping for? Are you the king that will deliver us from all our enemies, cancel all our sin, and bring us back into a right relationship with God as his people forever? Or are you like so many other disappointments of history? Are you just another failed deliverer? Are you really worth my trust, my devotion, my life? Or are you inauthentic?" Now, after all God had already done through the life of John and Jesus' earthly ministry, we might be quick to judge John here and wonder, how could he ever ask a question like that? After all, he is the messenger, the forerunner, the last of the prophets. But John is like us. He's human. He knows the hardship and the pain of living in a broken world. He is sitting and suffering in the depths of an ancient dungeon. And there in that ancient dungeon, the ancient promises of God are easy to forget. And we're just like him. Because living in this broken world, we too become discouraged by everything that promises to be authentic and true and genuine, but shows some form of inauthenticity in our lives. And even here shines through. He shines through by reminding us what he has done for us. Jesus tells John's disciples, he says, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them." So Jesus lists all these things we have seen him doing through the Gospel of Matthew. He has healed those with lifelong disabilities. He cures those with incurable diseases. He brings to life those who have died. And he brings to the undesirable, the rejects, the outcasts of society, the good news of his kingdom. But what is so striking about this list is the language that Jesus uses. You see, all these things are echoes of prophecies from the Old Testament concerning the eschatological, or we would say the future, deliverance of God's people. The prophet Isaiah narrates the blessings that will accompany the coming promised Messiah when he will come and bring salvation to his people. And listen to his words in Isaiah 35. He says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert." And what Isaiah is doing there, and what so many other prophets of the Old Testament do, is he's laying out a blueprint of God's deliverance through his chosen servant that would come. And so Jesus is telling John's messengers to look at that blueprint and then look at him and look at what Jesus is doing. And when they do that, they cannot help but see that Jesus is the one they had been waiting for. He is the authentic Messiah. And Jesus Christ fulfills God's redemptive blueprint by addressing very specific needs that we all need him to address. He by healing diseases and disabilities, he is addressing the reality that our sin has brought corruption upon this world. Jesus' healing miracles were designed to point people to his authority to heal the breach that our sin has created with God. Leprosy is mentioned particularly because under the ceremonial law, it was considered to be unclean. And Jesus reminding John's disciples that he can wash away every impurity. He can make that which is unclean, clean again. He can even cleanse the impurity of a heart that is turned in rebellion against God. And Jesus, in raising the dead, shows that he has authority over the curse of death itself. And by preaching the gospel, the kingdom to the poor, he's showing that God's mercy and grace is extended even to those that the rest of society considers to be outcasts and scorns. And there is not a single person beyond the saving power of Christ. You see, Jesus heals. And he creates life, and he proclaims the good news all so that he might make sinners like you and like me the citizens of his kingdom, the children of the Father forever. And nobody in history has done what Christ has done to rescue you from hurt and pain and sorrow and brokenness of this sin-inflicted world. Jesus is the most authentic person you can know because of what he has done for you. But secondly, Jesus is authentic because of who he is to you. He is your Savior and he is your Lord. After addressing John's disciples, Jesus turns to the ever-present crowds that followed him throughout his earthly ministry, and he begins to address them concerning John. And he asks a series of three rhetorical questions. The idea behind all these questions is to get people to think about why they even went out into the wilderness to hear John. Why were they drawn to John in the first place? Remember, John's ministry is carried out in the Judean wilderness. It's not the nicest of places one could visit on earth. You didn't intentionally go out into that wilderness unless you had a very good reason to do so. The wilderness was a dangerous place. It had was the home of wild animals and bandits. There was little protection there. And so Jesus asks, what did you go in the wilderness to see? Reeds blowing in the wind? Did you go out to the wilderness just to admire the scenery? Well, the answer was no. They didn't go out into the wilderness to see reeds blowing in the wind. So Jesus then asks again, why did you go into that inhospitable wilderness? What did you go to see? A person royally dressed in exquisite clothing? And of course the answer again is no. The people wanted to see royal sophistication and refinement, they would have gone to a palace, not the wilderness. That is the last place you would look. And so Jesus asks again, what did you go into the wilderness to see? A prophet? And this time the answer is an obvious yes. That is exactly why the people braved the wilderness. They wanted to see a prophet. And Jesus adds a superlative. He says, yes, more than a prophet. And what he means by that is that John wasn't just a herald of coming salvation like Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, but he was the immediate precursor to that salvation. He was the last of the great prophets. Because John was that immediate precursor, that voice that was crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord. Jesus says this of him. He says, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist." In other words, John was very special. John was great because he fulfilled a great role in God's redemptive purposes. But as great as John was, Jesus is greater. And that is the point that Christ is getting after here. John was just the messenger. Now, there was no one as great as him, says Jesus, but Jesus is greater. John was the precursor to that salvation, which means that Christ is that salvation. John was the herald of the coming king, but Jesus is that king. Jesus is the real thing, the authentic Savior, the only Redeemer of God's people. You see, John couldn't save those who came to them. He could only point them to the one who would come after him, who would save them. And that is who Jesus is to you. He is the Redeemer who saves from every sin and wipes away every tear. Jesus likens John the Baptist to the eschatological Elijah here in Matthew 11. What he has in mind is an Elijah. If you remember, Elijah was a prophet of the Old Testament. Malachi, another prophet, speaks of a coming eschatological future Elijah in chapter 4. And this Elijah, this prophet like Elijah, would come before the great and awesome day of the Lord. So Jesus is saying, John was that Elijah. That means the great and awesome day of the Lord that Malachi talked about had come. The Lord had come. In other words, Jesus was that Lord. He was the authentic Christ. Thus, Jesus is authentic because of what he has done for you. He saves you, he forgives you, he washes away every stain of sin, every evil desire, every failure and stumble from both the past, the present, and even the future. And Jesus is authentic because of what he is to you. He is your salvation, and he is your Lord. He loves you and knows you better than any other person. And so what then? What should we do in light of that truth? Well, here we see in Matthew that we are to listen to the authentic voice of Christ that cuts through the inauthentic babble of this world. You see, there are so many ideas and people and things that claim to be authentic and able to satisfy the longing of our hearts to know and trust and rest in something that is true and real. And some say, be true to yourself because that is the only place you'll find authenticity. But it doesn't take long to get burned by that idea. Because when we do, when we find who we truly are, the picture isn't as bright and beautiful as we hoped it would be. You see, sin has left its mark and it cuts a wound so deep that we cannot even trust ourselves. As the prophet Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? So we need something outside ourselves, something that we can trust to be truly authentic. Something that will not fail us. And that something is a someone. It is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all we have to do to know him, Jesus says, is listen to him with ears of faith. Again, the world is full of all sorts of voices screaming at us to trust in all sorts of things and ideas and people that claim to be the genuine article of truth. And yet they all ultimately fail us. But above them rises the voice of Christ, above that noise, cutting through the babble, and we just need to listen. As he says in verse 15, he who has ears, let him hear. Now this is a warning of sorts. Jesus is saying, don't turn me off. Don't ignore what I am saying. Don't think that I'm just another voice amongst many other voices telling you how you can find happiness and satisfaction in your life. He's saying, listen to me with ears of faith. Trust me. Lean upon me. Rest in me. He's calling out, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. And so when you are burdened, like John was, by discouragement and disillusioned by failures, both your own and others, listen in faith to that one voice that is authentic. Listen to Jesus. But there's another choice we can make when we hear his voice. We can ignore him. We can be offended by him. You can close your heart, close your ears, turn your head away. In verse 6, Jesus gives us a beatitude. He says, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. That word offended is the same word from which we get our English word, scandalized. So he's saying, blessed is the one, or happy, that's what blessed means, is the one who is not being scandalized by me, the one who is not offended by me. The problem with the world today is so many people are offended by Jesus. They don't want to listen. They don't have those ears of faith. But Jesus says, if you do listen, if you do receive him in faith, if you do rest in him alone, you will be blessed. You will find lasting joy and heavenly happiness. And that, my friends, is the reason the world is scrambling so hard looking for something that is authentic. Because we want to find true and lasting and real happiness that rises above the clamor of the world. But it is here, and it is for us now in Christ. We have all the authenticity we need. So listen to him. Trust him. Believe in him. And in him, you will find the only person in this life who will never fail you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful that Christ is the real Savior, the true and only Redeemer of his people. We're thankful, Father, that all we need to do is to simply look to him in faith and hear his voice calling out to us to come to him in faith and repentance and find true rest for our weary souls. And so, Father, we thank you that he is our Savior and he is our Lord. Help us to be reminded of these things as we walk through this week and take encouragement that when all other things would fail us, when we feel the weight of the inauthenticity of this world, we would see the authentic Savior and delight in him. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.